Bernie! 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 I'm gonna let Mayor Gus Newport talk a little bit because he knows Bernie, knows him well.
Are we feeling the burn? I'm gonna share a little secret with you all. I've known Bernie Sanders for 36 years. Bernie, Dennis Kucinich, the mayor of Cleveland, and I, as the mayor of Berkeley, were all mayors at the same time. And we were invited to speak. As a matter of fact, Bernie invited me to Burlington when he ran for governor to campaign with him. And the national press said, Bernie, what the hell are you doing bringing in about black national socialists from Berkeley? And you're a Jew from Brooklyn socialist to campaign in the state that's 97% white. Bernie said, because we're here to talk about the issues, not about craft. Does it get any better than that? Let me tell y'all another secret. I'm 81 years old. I've been voting for 60 years. And never in my lifetime have I had a chance to vote for anyone except somebody who's a lesser of two evils. Today I feel vindicated because we got the best, most intelligent, most creative, most lovely brother in the world. And let me tell you, we're going to get out to vote June 7th, and Bernie Sanders is going to be the president of these United States of America. Yeah! We've been with Bernie from South Carolina to Michigan. We've been with Bernie, all of you been with him along the way. We got here to California, and we know how important California is. We know we could do it. Yes, we can. We could do it. We've met with all communities. We just came back from Allen Temple in East Oakland, talking to the community, laying out a plan, telling the community the truth. That's what Bernie's about. Authentic. He's a truth teller. And that's what we need. More than anything, we talked about everything from the violence against young black and Hispanic young men. We talked about the issues around climate change and the impact that that's having on communities of color. We talked about that. He talked about everything. That's why Bernie's the person. And that's why we're here. And we're going to march. We're marching all the way to Philadelphia. We're marching all the way to Philadelphia. But I want to introduce you to the next speaker. Go ahead. Let me make you understand that under Bernie Sanders, no coal will be shipped out of the Port of Oakland. Let me tell you, under Bernie Sanders, the Police Review Commission that will speak out on behalf of people's rights will be passed in the city of Oakland. Let me tell you, under Bernie Sanders, single-payer health care will be available to everybody. Bernie is the man.
So our next person is going to come up here who's going to talk about the economy. He was the Secretary of Labor. Under Clinton. But no, don't let that. He's a progressive. Don't let that tell you. He knows why we're in the fix we're in. He's talked about it. He's written about it. He's op-ed about it. He is the person that we want to hear you right here, right now. And that is former Secretary of Labor, Robert Reich. It's a historic moment. It's a moment that's talking about real social justice. It's a moment that's talking about real change.
is a moment that we know that we not only have to put Bernie in our White House, but we have to go in our communities and elect progressives.
Buy breakfast tomorrow morning and be able to rent and whatever else. Don't worry about it. We can wait a little longer for the United States. For the United States, that was supposed to be what Martin Luther King referred to as the beloved community.
I don't have. It's so beautiful to see all of you here, and you know that there's so many people out here trying to get in. You know, there's so many people who want to see and feel the burn, who feel the burn, and know that we have the power to talk about movement building. We have to talk about this country beyond November 8th and beyond that. We have the opportunity to do that. This campaign is a historic moment. It's a moment that's talking about real social justice. It's a moment that's talking about real change. It's a moment that
who's the most favorable. And that's why the polls have said that 83% of the people have a favorable interpretation and a favorable feeling about Bernie Sanders. And that's unheard of. And who beats Donald Trump by the biggest margin? Bernie Sanders. He's the most electable. He's the most electable. He's not only the most electable, he's the one who's authentic. It's authentic. And he gives us something that we never had before, that I can remember. Somebody comes here and tells the doggone truth about what's happening with him. He welcomes all immigrants. He's talking about an immigration policy, a just immigration policy. He's talking about all the things that we know about now. Now we have to go out and do the work. We have to do our work as citizens. So when you go to the polls on June 7th, that you're going to bring your mama, your grandmama, right, and as your grandma and grandma, right, bring your great-grandmama and take her to the polls.
And we love all Muslims. We're not going to allow a wall to be built. We're going to build new roads to Mexico so that we can warm each other in love and this and that. This is the Bernie Sanders going to bring love and health to a community. This is going to be the America that was supposed to be under Bernie Sanders.
Dr. King talked about the beloved community. He talked about in his last speeches how that we had to become a more people-orientated society than a thing-orientated society. He talked about the three. The axis that he talked about was racism, materialism, and militarism. He understood the dynamics of that. He understood what war did, the Vietnam War. And when he spoke up against it, he became more than just a civil rights leader. He fought for justice, and he fought for human rights. That's what he became. And for that, that's why we no longer have him here. For that, for standing up for truth, for speaking truth to power, we have this opportunity to live in the legacy of Dr. King. That legacy is personified.
We're not going to allow a wall to be built. We're going to build new roads in Mexico. Community. This is going to be the America that was supposed to be under Bernie Sanders.
Dr. King talked about the beloved community. He talked about in his last speeches how that we had to become a more people-orientated society than a thing-orientated society. He talked about the three. The axis that he talked about was racism, materialism, and militarism. He understood the dynamics of that. He understood what war did, the Vietnam War. And when he spoke up against it, he became more than just a civil rights leader. He fought for justice, and he fought for human rights. That's what he became. And for that, that's why we no longer have him here. For that, for standing up for truth, for speaking truth to power, we have this opportunity
to live in the legacy of Dr. King. That legacy is personified. That legacy is personified by Bernie Sanders. That's where it is. We have this movement because people are hurt. They really hurt. We don't see them all the time. Those who come by, just pass by in the street, you can see the homelessness on right here in West Oakland. You can see the homelessness on Division Street in San Francisco and all over San Francisco. You can see that. It's there. It's evident. But now we have someone who can talk about it and force us to do the right thing and do the right thing for justice. This moment is here. Let's do my favorite way. Most people kiss me on this right here. Come on. Come on. Yeah, it can happen. That's the one we're talking about.
Let me tell you. I just returned last night from Northern Ireland. I was there looking at the peace situation with people who go back to IRA, Sean Finland, whatever. And when I got on the bus to leave, one of the people from Northern Ireland said to me, "We want you to know that when one of our persons was in prison fasting and death row, Bernie Sanders was the only one in the Congress of the United States who wrote a letter to Margaret Thatcher, asking to get peace and resolution to this brother."
America. and to tell them and to tell America what is really happening. That is that the concentration of income and wealth and political power in this country is undermining both our economy and also eroding our democracy. And this is a person who has had the clarity, not just the courage, but also the clarity to sound that message around America and create a movement, a new creative movement to change the direction of America. And this is a person who has had the commitment, not just the courage and clarity, but also the commitment to make sure that Americans know that unless we reverse what is happening in terms of the undermining of our democracy and economy, we cannot get on with anything else that we hold dear and important. We cannot deal with workers' rights. We can't expand the middle class. We can't reduce poverty. We cannot deal with climate change. We can't deal with any of the other problems, racism and genderism and everything else that is affecting America, unless we reclaim our democracy and our economy. And the man I'm about to introduce to you also, besides having the courage and the clarity and the commitment, also has the conviction to get all of this done. And that is hard to find. This is a man I've admired for so many, many years. And let me just tell you something, very profoundly. It's great to have a rally this size, but it's even more important to vote. And so, have you or will you be voting for Bernie Sanders next Tuesday? Will you be getting others out to vote as well? Do you feel the burn? Well, in that case, I've got good news for you. Because I'm now about to introduce to you the person who all of us want to see as the next president of the United States of America.
Somebody I've known for many decades, and that is Bob Reich. now teaches at UCal at Berkeley. But before that, he was the Secretary of Labor under President Clinton. And he was, in my view, because I was in the House back then, he was one of the great Secretaries of Labor that this country has ever had. He made it clear which side he was on, and he was on the side of working people. When we began this campaign a little over a year ago, the pundits had determined in their never-ending wisdom, never-failing wisdom, that our campaign was going to be a fringe campaign. Yes, Bernie Sanders combs his hair the way a president should. And it's true he wears $4,000 suits, that's true. Just kidding. $99, I think, is what it was. But despite those presidential attributes, they didn't think we would go very far. Well, a year has come and gone. And up till now, we have won the primaries and caucuses in 20 states in this country. We have won well over 9 million votes. And if you promise not to tell Secretary Clinton, she's getting very nervous lately. I don't want to add to her anxiety. So if you promise not to tell her, we're going to win here in California.
Winning.
More importantly, it is because of you and millions of other Americans who are now prepared to stand up, fight back, and get engaged in the political process. Here is a truism of American politics today. When people are demoralized, when they give up on politics, Republicans win because we have low voter turnouts. That's what happened 2 years ago. But when people are prepared to stand up and fight back, when they are prepared to make real change in this country, they will come out to vote and vote in large numbers, and that is when progressives and Democrats win. That is what this campaign is about. Something else to you, which really makes me feel absolutely terrific, and that is that that's true too. That was an inside joke. The rest of you didn't hear that. And that is that in primary after primary and caucus after caucus, we win often overwhelmingly the votes of young people. And by that, I mean not just the 20-year-olds, we thank them for their support, but people 45 years of age or younger. So far, and winning the votes of young people, it tells me that our message of social justice, economic justice, racial justice, environmental justice, that is the message for the future of our country. And the truth is that today we have a corrupt campaign finance system, which, as Bob Rice just told us, is undermining American democracy. Democracy is not a complicated concept. It is one person, one vote, not billionaires buying the election. When a handful of billionaires buy elections to elect those who represent the wealthy and the powerful, that's not democracy. That is oligarchy. We will not accept it. But it's not just the corrupt campaign finance system that we are going to end. It is a rigged economy. A rigged economy is when today the top one-tenth of 1% now own almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%. A rigged economy is when the 20 wealthiest people own more wealth than the bottom half of America, 150 million people. A rigged economy is when we see a proliferation of millionaires and billionaires, and yet we have single moms in California making 11 bucks an hour, unable to provide for their kids. A rigged economy is when we have veterans who put their lives on the line for this country, sleeping out on the streets of San Francisco. A rigged economy is when CEOs make $40 or $50 million a year and then take away the health care benefits of their workers, their pensions, and lower their wages. That's a rigged economy. A rigged economy is when large corporations making billions a year shut down factories in America and move to low-wage countries, throwing millions of Americans out on the street. Together, we are going to create an economy that works for all of us, not just for 1%. This campaign is also going to end a broken criminal justice system. Every person in America should be extremely embarrassed by the fact that we have more people in jail than any other country on earth. It is not acceptable to me, and I think to you, that in America today, we have 2.2 million people behind bars, and we're spending $80 billion a year to lock them up. In inner cities and in rural communities, we have unemployment rates for young people of 30%, 40%, 50%. And when kids are hanging out on street corners without jobs and not being in school, bad things can happen. That is why I believe we should invest in our young people, in jobs and education. I want and you want our kids to be in school or working at meaningful jobs, not rotting in jail cells. And when we talk about criminal justice, it is important to look at local police departments all over this country. I was a mayor in Burlington, Vermont for 8 years. I worked with the police there, and I worked with police all over this country, and the vast majority of police officers are honest, hardworking, and have a very difficult job to do. But like any other public official, when a police officer breaks the law, that officer must be held accountable. We need to demilitarize local police departments. We need to make police departments reflect the diversity of the communities they serve. We need to end corporate ownership of prisons and detention centers. We need to change law enforcement culture all over this country so that the use of lethal force is the last response, not the first response. We need to rethink the so-called war on drugs. Over the last 30 years, millions of Americans have received police records for possession of marijuana. And if you are a 19-year-old kid applying for a job, having that police record does not help you get that job. Right now, under the Federal Controlled Substance Act, marijuana is listed as a Schedule I drug. Right next to the killer drug, heroin. If elected president, we will take marijuana out of the federal control system. All of you know that the legalization of marijuana is a state issue, not a federal issue. But I believe, from a criminal justice point of view, just from that alone, if I were a citizen of California, I would vote to legalize marijuana in America. This campaign also understands that when we talk about drugs, we all have got to appreciate we have a major crisis in this country in terms of opiate and heroin addiction. This is a major issue that we cannot afford to ignore, because every single day people are dying of drug overdoses. In my view, we have got to be smart in how we deal with substance abuse and addiction. And that means we have to treat that problem not as a criminal issue, but as a health issue. And that means we need a revolution in mental health treatment in this country. They need treatment now, not 6 months from now. And by the way, that is not only dealing with addiction and substance abuse. We got thousands of people in America, sad to say, who are walking our streets who are suicidal, and some are homicidal. They need treatment today, not next year. Wealthy campaign contributors. And I am extremely proud to tell you that ours is the only campaign this year for president that does not want a super PAC. Or the billionaire class, we don't want their money. But what we have done in this campaign is almost unimaginable, and it is unprecedented. We have received almost 8 million individual campaign contributions. $27. If I must say myself, that is pretty damn good. Because what we have shown is we can run a winning national campaign without asking billionaires for campaign contributions. Secretary Clinton has chosen another way to raise funds. She has not one, but a number of super PACs which have collected tens of millions of dollars from Wall Street and other special interests. Now, I don't know how somebody can say they're going to stand up to Wall Street when they take Wall Street's money. Doesn't make sense to me. This campaign is listening to workers. And I am proud to see the nurses' union here today. Saying is they can't make it on $10-$11 an hour. They can't make it on the $12 an hour that Secretary Clinton wants to see. Workers in this country want and deserve $15 an hour. And the right to form a union. Campaign is listening to senior citizens and disabled vets. Republicans want to cut Social Security. We're not going to cut Social Security. We're going to expand Social Security. Listening to women. And women are telling me in America they are tired of working for 79 cents on the dollar. They want the whole damn dollar. because we all know what Republican family values mean, and that is that under the Republican doctrine, no woman here in California or in this country should have the right to control her own body. We disagree. And under Republican family values, they are telling us that our gay brothers and sisters should not have the right to marry. We disagree. Jane and I have been married for 28 years. That's true. I don't know how she has stood me for 28 years. But she has, and I appreciate that. And we believe in family values very strongly, but our family values very, very different than Republican family values. And our values are about ending the international disgrace in which the United States is the only major country on earth not to guarantee paid family and medical leave. This campaign is listening to young people. And what young people are asking me is, how does it happen that after they do the right thing, they go out and get the best education they can, how does it happen they earn $30,000, $50,000, $70,000 in debt? Think about it for a second. That is absolutely crazy. And if you think outside of the box, you say this to yourself, wait a second. We live in a highly competitive global economy. We need the best educated workforce in the world. We have got to make sure that all of our people, young people, people in a changing economy, get the educations they need to do the jobs that are out there. Why in God's name are we punishing people for getting an education? We should be rewarding people, not punishing them. Never went to college, and that is the situation with millions of kids today. I want to see in America every child, regardless of the income of his or her family, if that kid does well in school, if that kid takes school seriously, I want to see that child being able to get a college education regardless of the income of that family. And universities tuition free. That is what America is supposed to be about. That you can get all of the education you need regardless of the income of your family. How many people here are carrying student debt right now? Whoa. It's a lot of people. For those millions of people who are carrying student debt, what we will fight for is to allow those people to refinance their loans at the lowest interest rates they can buy. Now, my opponents and the media and everybody else say, well, Bernie, you know, you're a nice guy. You're going to make public colleges and universities tuition free. You've got a substantially lower student debt. How are you going to pay for it? And let me tell you exactly how we're going to pay for it. Now, the media forgets to tell you this. I don't know why, but corporate media somehow forgets to tell you that over the last 25 years, there has been a massive redistribution of wealth in this country from the middle class to the top one-tenth of 1%. Well, for a start, we're going to redistribute that wealth back down to working families. And second of all of you know that after the greed and the recklessness and the illegal behavior of Wall Street helped destroy our economy, leading to millions of Americans losing their jobs, their homes, and their life savings, against my vote, Congress bailed them out. Well, I think it's time for a tax on Wall Street speculation. The middle class bailed out Wall Street. Now it's Wall Street's time to help the middle class in this country. I think it is time to break up the major banks in this country. This campaign is listening to the Latino community. There are 11 million undocumented people in this country, and every single day, I just met with farm workers yesterday, every single day, undocumented people are being exploited, they're being cheated, because when you don't have any legal rights, you can't stand up and take on your employer. The time is long overdue for us to pass comprehensive immigration reform and backward censorship. And if Congress, if the Republicans don't do, yes, we can. And if the Republicans don't do their job and repair a broken immigration system, I will use the executive powers of the White House to do all that I can. We have got to end the current deportation policies. Our immigration policy is to unite families, not to divide them. This campaign is listening to the African American community. I've been all over this country in this campaign. I've been to Flint, Michigan, where I've talked to parents whose children were poisoned by lead in the water. I've been to Detroit, Michigan, where the public school system there is now on the verge of fiscal collapse. I've been to Baltimore, Maryland, where tens of thousands of people are addicted to heroin and can't find the treatment to get off their addiction. I have been to inner cities where there are no grocery stores, where there are no bank branches. So if you want to cash a check, you go to a payday lender and pay some usurious interest rates. And what the African American community is asking me is, how does it happen that we could invest trillions of dollars fighting a war in Iraq? We we never should have gotten into. But somehow, we don't have the funds to rebuild the inner cities of this country. Together, we are going to radically change our national priorities. No more wars that should not be fought. No more tax breaks for billionaires and profitable corporations. But yes, to investing in inner cities and in low-wage, poverty-stricken rural communities. And this campaign is listening to a group of people whose pain is almost never heard from, and that is the Native American people. Before the time this country became a country, the Native American people were cheated, were lied to, and treaties they negotiated were abrogated. And the truth is that our culture today owes the Native American people a debt of gratitude that we can never fully repay. An enormous amount, but perhaps the most profound lesson that they have tried to teach us is that as human beings, we are part of nature. We must live with nature. And that if we continue to destroy nature, we are destroying the human species. And yet, despite all they have done for our country, on Native American reservations and their communities all over this country, poverty and unemployment are sky high, health care and educational opportunity are totally inadequate. If I am elected president, we will change when I am elected president. We will change the federal government's relationship to the Native American community. Now, I am a member of the U.S. Senate Committee on the Environment. And in that capacity, I have talked to scientists all over this country and all over the world. Now, I recognize that all of the scientists who have studied this issue for decades are not quite as smart as Donald Trump. I got that. Because I know that Donald Trump, after years of intensive study, has concluded that there is no drought in California. And Donald Trump, even after more years of study, has concluded that climate change is a hoax. See, now, I was not shocked to hear that Trump thought climate change was a hoax. That's what most Republicans think. Pretty pathetic, but that is what they think. But what I was surprised about is he thought it was a hoax perpetrated on our country by the Chinese. See, I thought he would have believed it was a hoax created by the Mexicans or the Muslims. Why the Chinese? I don't know. But in any case, despite Donald Trump's profound thought on this issue, what virtually the entire scientific community understands is climate change is real. Climate change is caused by human activity. Climate change is already causing devastating problems, as you well know, in California, here in this country, and all over the world. And here is what is really scary, and we had better listen to them. What the scientists are also telling us, if we do not get our act together boldly and in the very short future, what we're going to be seeing is more drought, more flooding, more extreme weather disturbances, more acidification of the ocean, more rising sea levels, and more international conflict as people around the world fight over limited natural resources. We have a moral responsibility as custodians of this planet to make sure that we leave this planet in a way that is healthy for our kids. And what that means is having the guts to take on the fossil fuel industry, to transform our energy system away from fossil fuel to energy efficiency and sustainable energy, and to tell the oil and coal companies that their short-term profits are not more important than the future of this planet. One country in the industrialized world, one country, that does not guarantee health care to all people as a right. And you are living in that country. In my view, the Affordable Care Act has done a lot of important things, but we need to do more. Acceptable that 28 million people today have no health insurance, that many of you are underinsured with high deductibles and high co-payments, that every one of us is getting ripped off by the greed of the pharmaceutical industry, that charges us by far the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs. In my view, health care is a right of all people, not privilege. And I am very proud to stand with National Nurses United. And with nurses and doctors all over this country who know that we need a Medicare for all single-payer program. And by the way, when we do that, we're going to save the average middle-class family thousands of dollars a year on their health care costs. And sisters, I think everybody here knows a very profound lesson of American history. And that lesson is that real change never takes place from the top on down. It is always from the bottom on up. A 100+ years ago, when workers were forced to work 7 days a week and children were working in factories, the working class of this country stood up and they said, we will form trade unions to protect the rights of workers. And we thank the trade union movement for helping to create the modern American middle class. 150 years ago, amidst the abomination of slavery, African Americans and their allies fought back and they looked to the future and they said that the day will come in this country when we will rid ourselves of racism and bigotry and segregation. And we will never know how many people died in that struggle, went to jail, were beaten. But we do know that over the years, millions of people stood up and fought back to end racism in this country. The children often do not know this, but 100 years ago in this country, women did not have the right to vote. They could not get the education or the jobs they wanted. But women stood up, fought back. Some went on hunger strikes, some died, some went to jail. But they said, women in America will not be second-class citizens. If we were here in Oakland 10 years ago and somebody jumped up and said, Bernie, you know, I think gay marriage will be legal in every state in this country by 2015. The person next to him would have said, you're crazy. There's too much homophobia. There's too much bigotry, too much hatred. It cannot happen. But the gay community and their straight allies stood up, fought back. And they said loudly and proudly that in America, people should have the right to love whoever they wanted, regardless of their gender. And if we were here 5 years ago, no time at all, somebody jumped up. And she said, you know, I think that in a few years, we're going to raise the minimum wage from the starvation, 7 1/4 minimum wage, to $15 an hour. Everybody there would have thought she was crazy. People would have said, you want to go from 7 1/4 to 15? You want to more than double the minimum wage? You're too radical. You're an extremist. Can't happen. But you know what did happen? Workers in the fast food industry, in McDonald's, in Burger King, they went out on strike. And they told the world that they can't make it on 7 1/4. And then a few years ago, in Seattle, they raised the minimum wage $15 an hour. San Francisco, Los Angeles, thank you. California, New York, $15 an hour. What is my point? My point is that what seems impossible today, in fact, happens when millions of people demand that it happens. Please do not tell me that the United States cannot do what every other major country does and guarantee health care to all people as a right. Don't tell me that the United States cannot do what Germany and Scandinavia does today, provide free tuition at their colleges and universities. Don't tell me that the United States is the only, has to be the only major country not to guarantee paid family and medical leave. Don't tell me we have to have the highest rate of childhood poverty of almost any major country, or that our infrastructure, our roads, and our bridges have to continue to collapse. Don't tell me that we need to continue having a corrupt campaign finance system or a grotesque level of income and wealth inequality. The truth is that if we stand together, we can address all of these issues. Create a government that works for all of us, not just the 1%. On June 7th, a week from tomorrow, there is going to be an extraordinarily important Democratic primary here in California. It will be the most important primary in the whole nominating process because you have 475 delegates to cast. If there is a large voter turnout, we will win and win big. So on June 7th, let us together create the largest voter turnout in Democratic primary history in California. And let this great state, one of the most progressive states in the country, go on record and say, yes, let's go forward with the political revolution. Thank you all.